is we're going to talk about the beast that make and figure out what's going on here. We say it like this. In Parakeet Beast Pasuk K, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki imala makom asher yiv, well, I shouldn't say Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe, Ki imala makom asher yiv Hashem alakechem mikol shevteichem l'sum shemosham, you will come to the place that God, your God, will choose from all of your shvatim, l'sum shemosham, to put his name there, to place his name there. L'shichno sidrishu, you will search out for an area for his shechina to dwell, uvasa sham, and then you'll come there. That's what you have to do. You have to search out for the shechina, and then go to that place over here. So it's clear. The Torah refuses to declare Yerushalayim and Har Moriah as the area for the current Mishkan. That's not going to be the area where the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash are going to be, and or at least it doesn't say it that way, even if it was meant to be that way. Instead, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, search for it, and wherever that place is that you decide upon, it's your call. Your call, B'nai Yisrael. If you decided and you want it to be, then in Echanami, that's where you're going to bring all your kavanos, and that's how it's going to work. That's it.
It's a coincidence. That's the same place as the Akedah.
That is what?
That's the same place as the Akedah.
Well, yeah, in other words, like, we don't know that the place of the Akedah is going to end up being the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just want to mention that. Why don't you just say, Jerusalem is, you know, the place where
that's a great question. I think I might talk about that tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to consider it. I'm going to consider that right now. I'm going to think about that. Yeah, I think we're going with that right now. That's a good call. Good thing I prepared for it. So Rashi tells us this refers to Shiloh. Shiloh was the area where the Mishkan remained for almost 370 years before it was destroyed based on the Sifri. That's where it went over there. The Balaturim says the words El HaMakom, however, are the words, are the letters in Atbash of Tach Tzidfi, Tav Chav Tzadi Yud Dalet Pei Yud, which is 614, which means Zehu Yerushalayim. The same gematria is Zehu Yerushalayim. So instead of saying that it's Shiloh, it really is referring to Yerushalayim. The Sforno says both. It's referring to Shiloh, it's referring to Yerushalayim, it's referring to wherever it could possibly be, whichever one they choose to make. If they want to keep the Mishkan and leave it somewhere until they're ready to build the Beis HaMikdash, then it's the area where the Mishkan is. If they want to build the Beis HaMikdash immediately when they come into Eretz Yisrael, then it's the area where I guess Yerushalayim is. That's what it's going to be, says the Sforno. From that point on, the people from that point on, they can try to go to wherever they can bring their korbanos instead of the holy areas coming to them. In other words, instead of bringing korbanos wherever they feel like bringing it, they're now going to bring it over to them. It's going to be a different level than what they had before. Now, why not just tell us one place? The Chizkuni says the Shechina rested in very many different places. It was in Gilgal, it was in Gibbon, it was in Nov, it was in Shiloh, it was in Har Moriah. All these places are included in the pasuk. Every single one of them are included in this pasuk over here, each one mentioning it in a certain way. The Shach says that it mentions Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that God chose. It says that four times to hint to the four Bati HaMikdash that he would build. The Mishkan Shiloh, I saw that the whole time. I was wondering what happened to it. I just had no idea. Mishkan Shiloh, first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, and then finally the third. Okay, that's absolutely hilarious. I just wanted to know that. I just was wondering. I'm like, going back to Israel for a while, why bother wearing a kippah? You don't need something like that. Either way, but it's going to be those. That's what the Shach says. It is referred to those four places. That's how it goes into. The Ksam Sofer says in Drushlis, each place they went into, they were davening in that area, it became permanent and it wouldn't be destroyed after that point. In Mishkan Shiloh, they were davening to eventually build it up near Yerushalayim. In the first Beis HaMikdash, they were davening that Beis HaMikdash would be the only Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash, that it would lead into the third Beis HaMikdash. That each time, where they were, says the Ksam Sofer, they were davening, L'shichno Sidrishu. Wherever you go, you should daven, you should darshan, you should sit there and ask, let the Shechina rest. And that's what they're doing. So it didn't matter what the place was, the Ksam Sofer says. But we have to ask that question. Why not tell us? Why not tell us directly what this place was? Just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell us directly, here is the place you're going to go to. You're going to go to this area right over there. Says Rabbeinu Bataya. There are three reasons that are mentioned by the Rambam as to why they couldn't tell them this area. Now, everyone knew about this place. Says Rabbeinu Bataya, and to me, this is a bit of a chiddush. I wouldn't necessarily agree with this. But the Rabbeinu Bataya says it, and it's very hard to argue with the Rabbeinu Bataya, but he says the following. He says, everyone knew that Har Moriah was the place of the Akedah. That the Akedah Yitzchak happened in Har Moriah. Everyone knew where Har Moriah was. I don't know how they knew. I don't know why they would have known that. But at the end of the day, they all knew where the Akedah took place, and they knew it was in Har Moriah itself. It was handed down to them from their forefathers that Har Moriah was the place of the Akedah. They knew that was going to be the area of the Beis HaMikdash. But it wouldn't be written down, says the Rambam in Mori Nevuchim in Gimel Mem Hei, for number one, if the other nations knew about this place,
and they knew how holy and special it was, how their tefillos would all be accepted there, that all korbanos have to be there, every nation in the world would fight over it. They would claim that they own it and it's their own. They would claim that their God gave it to them, and that would be, everybody would fight over. We see, even when it's not clear, and we don't say anything about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, look, the Arabs claim that that area is theirs, the Christians want it for themselves, we obviously have the real claim to it, and we're the ones who are saying this is where we're supposed to go. That even when it's not clear, there's arguments about it. Can you imagine what it would be like if it was clear as day, Yerushalayim is the absolute place where everyone should go to bring out their Beis HaMikdash, their korbanos? Then it would be every nation in the world would be trying to go there and trying to get it for themselves. So because of that, it wouldn't write it explicitly. Yeah, Jake.
Well, I didn't necessarily sure. Wouldn't it be, if it was explicitly stated that someone was holy for the Jews, would it be other nations then not want it to be holy for them?
Like, it doesn't say it's holy for the Jews. It's holy to God. And they all believe in God in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's Shittuf or whatever it is, they believe that that place is the holiest place in the world because it's God's place. Lav Dapka for the Jews. The Goyim also bring korbanos.
So yeah. I'm
sorry?
They're still fighting over.
I think it would be worse. That would be the idea. You would have other nations that are not of Islam or of Christianity, or maybe Christians would fight for it even more so. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that would be.
But if they believe that Masorah, then they would also believe that it's also for them to be doing that.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I don't agree. Just like they stole our Torah in one way, right, in one way or another, they'd steal that area as well. If it was explicit, there would be no Medina. There would be no Mecca. This would be the Mecca. This would be where they would be. There would be nowhere else. There would be no other holy place. They'd consider that the same way they took it. Second thing. Had the Canaanim known that this was the area that in the future would be the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the Canaanim would have destroyed it. They would have raised it to the ground. They would have made sure that this area would not be available for them when they would eventually get there. And for the Canaanim that were there at the time, they couldn't tell them what was going on in that place. That's the second answer over here. And the third answer is that the Shvatim themselves would have fought over the area. Each one of the Shvatim would have said, I want this area. I want it to be on my portion. To stop them from having jealousy or fights over what was going to be over here, we made it unknown, so to speak, that everyone wouldn't fight over it. And the only people who knew were the great Talmidei Chachamim, who knew where it was in the first place. Those people, there was no need to fight over it because they knew whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that's going to be. Rav Sternbach says an obvious fourth reason. If Arvana Hayavusi, the person who owned the area, who David HaMelech bought it from, knew how special and holy this area was, you think he would have sold it for 600 shekel kesef? If he knew this is the area where all tefillos go straight up, he would have sold it for $1 billion. This wouldn't have been like an easy buy of 600 shekel kesef. There's no way Arvana Hayavusi would have been so cheap. So in order for it to remain viable, for it to be something that David HaMelech would have been able to buy from Arvana Hayavusi, therefore, we wouldn't tell you where it was. We're not going to tell you where it was. And Rav Sternbach said, that's the pshat. He would have the opportunity to buy it later for an easy price. Yeah.
Isn't that a little pshat? Like, you know, you're not allowed to 100% that you know it's worth more. Isn't that a
pshat? Oh, no?
Oh, no, yeah.
No. Fifth reason. Shach says, Avraham Avinu was told, when the Akedah would take place, that every step he took would be another step of greatness. Every step he took to go into the Akedah, he was never told that you go to Har Moriah. You know how long it took him for him to get from Hebron to Har Moriah?
3 days.
From Hebron to Har Moriah, 3 days. You know how long it takes to drive from Hebron to Har Moriah? 45 minutes. If there were no, like, you know, if it wasn't like topsy-turny roads, it would take like a half an hour. You know what that's like? That's like going from here, basically, to the airport. You're basically going from here to the airport. That's how far it is from Hebron to Har Moriah. How long of a walk is it? It'll take a couple hours. Well, that is 6-7 hours it's going to take from Hebron to Har Moriah. That's basically it. Yeah, you're talking 6-7 hours. Why did it take him 3 days? Because he didn't know where to go. He was never told where to go. He said, Alachad Arim, Asher Omari Lecha, to one of the mountains that I tell you to go to. Avraham went and then was walking around and around and around. He got car for every step he took because he believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go to the area. He knew he didn't get any idea of where it was supposed to be, and he got more scar, and it added to his greatness because HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to tell us where this place is going to be. Many tzaddikim will get scar by working it and trying to figure it out over and over and over again. Wait, is this the place? No, this is the place. Maybe this is the place. Each one of us are going to be able to sit and discuss the Indian, and we're being rewarded for doing so. We're being rewarded for every second of us trying to discuss where it should be and why it's going to be there, etc., and things like that. That's how the Shach understands it. That's his answer, is how it goes through. The collector says it makes sense, and this really going to be a sixth reason why we don't know where it is, because people wouldn't treat the Mishkan and the other cities, the temporary areas, before the Beis HaMikdash was built, they wouldn't treat that with respect if they weren't Iker places in the future. So therefore, every place where they were, Shiloh, Nov, Givon, all the Jews said, maybe this is the area of the Beis HaMikdash. The future Beis HaMikdash will be built here. Only when Yerushalayim was built did they realize, no, the other places were not as important. In order to make sure that each place was given the chashivas that it deserved at the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they're going to get what they need. Rav Strombach says it makes sense that in order to have a holy area, you need to work very hard to make it happen. Things like this can't just be given to us. You have to toil for it. You have to lose sleep over it until it impresses it upon you. Only then could you receive the information that you're going for. You chose correctly. You've got to work hard. The same way it goes by anything when it comes to Torah, especially this. You want to find the Makom HaMikdash? Spend hours. Lose sleep. Do everything you can to try to figure it out. It doesn't come easy. That's what he's trying to say. It doesn't come easy. Yashiv says, this is the contrast between us and the other nations of the world. They build their houses of idol worship on the tallest mountains with big trees, announcing to everyone, here's where you go. This is where I want you to be. Great big clocks that are bonging and giving the time, telling everybody, this is the church. This is where you should be. We, on the other hand, expect you to figure it out on your own. Go find it. We're not going to show you where it is. I'm not going to tell you explicitly what area it's going to be in. You find it. You find it yourself, and if you want to come to a holy place, you'll find it, you'll go in there, you'll be allowed in. But other than that, we're not going to explicitly tell you anything. That's the pshat in working hard in order to get up there, in the opposite way.
Don't we have a halacha that the shul is supposed to be, the biggest Knesset is supposed to be the largest building in the town?
Yeah, but that helps other reasons, not in order to show people to come there.
The tallest in the town, I mean, you are showing exactly
where. The point is, I realize, like, okay, it's got to be tall, but it's not the point of tall in order for people to see it. They are making spires in order for people to see it wherever they go, in order to go there, like the Tower of Babel. We are making it taller so we show that it's more chashuv than our houses. It's a total different idea of why we want to do it. We're not doing it so that people see it and then they come in. Aside from that, a shul is different from the Beis HaMikdash. The whole point was not to make it, even though the Beis HaMikdash was 100 amos tall, the point of the 100 amma tall Beis HaMikdash was not in order for everybody to look at it and say, whoa, that's where I should go. The point of the 100 tal is, again, chashivas, to make it out of kavod, to do something like that. It's the opposite effect. There is no announcement that's made, come to the Beis HaMikdash, everybody right now. If you came, you came. If you didn't come, you lost out. That's it. That's the concept. The concept is the exact opposite of why they do it. First, Jonathan says, the reason why the other nations put their house of worship up there is, again, so that everyone can find them. By us, we didn't need it, because there was constantly a cloud over the Beis HaMikdash that showed the Shekhinah's presence. If the Shekhinah was always there, then they knew just by looking up, they said, oh, that's where the Shekhinah, that's where the Beis HaMikdash is. We didn't need the height. We didn't need that area to be able to say it. It was not needed to be able to find it. You just had to find the cloud, which is a cool idea in and of itself.
That's like the Akedah, exactly the same thing.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the cloud that showed him where the mountain was. Exactly. The Chassam Sofer says it's almost like a guarantee. We know the concept. Habolatayr Misayin Oso. If you end up trying to be Mitar, if a person really wants to come to Shacharis every single day and he wants to make sure he's on time, Misayin Oso. You'll have Siyat HaDishmaya to be able to do so, to make sure that it happens in the proper way. That's the idea. If L'shichno Sidrishu, you try hard to find the Shekhinah, Uvasa Shama, you will get there. That's the guarantee that's given by our pasuk over here. Rav Yonason says, if you thought about it and you really wanted to go, you'll get Kfitzus Adderech and you'll find yourself there automatically. You'll just be in that area itself. That's Uvasa Shama. You'll actually be there. Where Victor Miller says, it was extremely important for everyone to have one place to go to. Again, this is a strange concept because we're not used to not having shul and whatever it is, but if you didn't have shuls and you didn't have Bathim Midrashes for people to go to, and if somebody that was not learned or whatever it is, if you didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, there was nothing to connect the nation together. What brings everyone together? You need something to be able to pull everyone into one area, and the Beis HaMikdash was that. There'd be no other reason to go to. So it says for Victor Miller, this Beis HaMikdash being the area that it was, where people could go to and they'd be there, and the Shekhinah Sidur, and we're telling you to try to find the place, right? When it comes to that, that was a rally cry. It was something that brought us together as a nation, that kept us separate from the other nations. Yeah. I mean, they had the Olmoed of Moshe Rabbeinu, but You know, like, maybe they did have, like, little things here and there, but a real Beis Medrash, like what we have, I doubt it. I doubt it. Yeah, but that's not Jewish. So they had something that had nothing to do with it. Yeah, it was the yeshiva for, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know, no, I don't want to say it. Let's keep that comment to myself. So either way, regardless, yes, there were such yeshivas that would be out there. Whew, that was really close. The Ramban understands this pasuk in two different ways. There's two different ideas that he brings out from this pasuk. In pshat, here's what he says. In pshat, go to Eretz Yisrael from faraway places and ask around where Hashem is. That's it. That way everybody joins together and everybody's like, oh, you don't know where it is? I'll take you there. And they all go together. Targum Unkelus, Targum Yonatan say it that way. Lebeis Shchinte Tisba'un. You should ask about the house of the Shechina, V'teisun L'saman. And you will all go there. And everybody will go there together. That's the Ramban's Imshat, the way to understand this pasuk. Sort of like what we've been dealing with based on the Sifri, and this is going to take us in a whole other direction. Sifri says you should search for the area through a Navi. You have to find a Navi to tell you if you're right about where you think the Beis Medrash is going to be. You cannot wait for him to tell you what to do or where to go. You can't do that. You have to search and find the place yourself. Go search, find the place yourself, and once you find a place, go to a Navi and ask him, am I right or am I wrong? That's what you have to do. Your requirement is to go to a Navi after you already think you got your place. And that's what David HaMelech did. Listen to this. This smag in mitzvah number 163 learns from here there is a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's learned from our pasuk. L'shichno sidrishu. You should search out for the Shechina. Mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is that this pasuk just seems to be Moshe Rabbeinu telling things over to the people. Hey guys, when you get there, you're going to go search out for the place and you'll end up finding it. And then you'll bring korbanos there, etc. It doesn't seem to be a mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what you have to do. It's what's going to happen. It sounds sort of like anything else, just not a tzibui, not a command. How is the smag saying that? The Rambam learns this mitzvah from Parshas Truma, where it says, "V'asu li mikdash, you should make for me a base of mikdash, v'shochanti b'socham, and I will dwell my shechina inside, you know, within them, or etc." So why would the smag say differently? That makes sense. V'asu li mikdash, you should make for me a base of mikdash. That's a tzibui, that's a command. Why would it be any different than now, here, this is the mitzvah over here? So the Chassam Sofer says, it is a mitzvah, but it's not what you think. There's two mitzvos when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah number one, build a special place where the Shechina can rest. That's learned from Parshas Truma. That's building up the Beis HaMikdash. What the smad means, and what the mitzvah is that when you decide where that place is, where you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, go to a Navi and ask him his opinion. This is a separate mitzvah. After you already decide you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, now ask the Navi where you should be building it. Am I right? Is that the right place? That's a separate mitzvah, says the Chassam Sofer. And that makes it permanent. Once the Navi decides, here's where it should be, that makes it permanent. By every other place, when they went to Shiloh, when they went to Nob, when they went to Gibbon, there was no process of, this is the Beis HaMikdash, let's go ask the Navi. They did what they needed to do, and it was a holy place, and they kept it there, and that's that. By the Beis HaMikdash, they asked. David HaMelech asked, and that changed everything around. Rav Hirsch talks about this as well, but that's the idea. So the Ramban is talking about is really a pasuk in Shmuel. And because most of you have absolutely no idea what Shmuel is, except for the fact that you probably learned it in fourth grade, we're going to explain a little bit about what happened over there. David HaMelech was already anointed in private by Shmuel and Avi. Saul HaMelech did not know about this anointing yet, but Saul HaMelech had already been declared he would not be the king of Klal Yisrael anymore. Shmuel and Avi went in private to the sons of Eliyav, to go, Eliyav, the sons of Yishai, to go see if his sons were Roy for the Malkus. He went through all the sons, eventually came to David HaMelech. He had anointed him completely. David HaMelech, meanwhile, was already serving as a musician and a general in Saul HaMelech's court. When war was going on, he was out to battle, winning wars against the Plishtim right and left. We all know what he did with Goliath, right? Cutting off his head, etc. When he wasn't in battle, he was a musician who played in front of Saul HaMelech, composing tunes, which maybe are the Tehillim that we sing nowadays, and singing in front of Saul HaMelech, making him feel better. Eventually, Saul HaMelech was given an inkling that David HaMelech may be the next king of Klal Yisrael, and he started getting angry. He started losing it a little bit, and he even attempted to kill him. Even after David HaMelech married his daughter, Michal, after Micha was married off to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech and Micha were living in a house, even then Shaul HaMelech planned on killing him, and David HaMelech had to run away. He ran away from Micha. He did this whole thing where he put Truffim in the bed, these different, like, you know, like a mannequin in a bed. He ran out in the middle of the night, and in the morning they tried killing him. They saw that it was a mannequin, it wasn't him, right? And that's what happened. He ran away to an area where it says, in Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, Vayelechu Shmuel Vayeshvu Bin Ayos. Him and Shmuel went, and they went to a city called Nayos. Nayos. In the next Pasuk, everyone tells Shaul that David HaMelech is Bin Ayos B'Ramah. He's in Nayos in Ramah. So, on that, it's strange. What's Bin Ayos in Ramah? I thought Nayos was a city. So the Ralbag and Rashi both say Nayos, and what that refers to is a base medrash in Ramah. Nayos is sort of like a beautiful area. It was a base medrash in Ramah. Matsudas David says it was a yeshiva for Nevi'im. And that's where David HaMelech and Shmuel and Abi went. They went to a yeshiva for Nevi'im that was in the city of Ramah. The Radak says there's a midrash in this pasuk, and it's based on Zvachim Nundalat of the base. If you haven't heard this Gemara, it's because he never did a yeshiva, and it's in the middle of nowhere in Zvachim. So unless you went to Brisk, you're not going to know this Gemara. Zvachim Nundalat of the base says, what's the connection between Nayos and Ramah? They're two different cities, and they're in two different places. Where are these cities? So he answers. Here's what it answers. The Gemara says, Shmuel and David sat down and started learning about the beauty of the world, the Noi, Nayos, of the world, the Beis HaMikdash, which is in Ramah, in the highest spot. In the highest spot. They started darshaning. This is what they did. They were figuring out where the Beis HaMikdash would be. That's what they were doing. David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech sat down. David HaMelech and Shmuel and Navi sat down and they said to each other, where should the Beis HaMikdash be? You, David HaMelech, are going to be the king of Klal Yisrael. You're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Where should it be? So they brought a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. The pasuk in Parsha Shoftim says, "Vekamta ve'alisa l'makom." You will get up and go to a place which seems to be, it's going to be the highest place in Eretz Yisrael. So they started looking around. And they looked around and they saw all the highest places. But then they realized, it's not a physical height. It's a spiritual greatness. And they started searching Sefer Yoshua for a hint. Is there a hint? Remember, by the way, Yoshua was written by, anybody know? Shmuel and Avi. There's a question if it was written by what's it called, by one of the Shoftim, but it seems clear from the Gemara that it was written by Shmuel and Avi. Shmuel and Avi wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh, and they looked at Sefer Yoshua to find an area that would fit the bill. When they came to a certain area, they saw divisions of land, and it said V'yorad V'ala, that the borders would go up and down. But when they came to the area of Binyamin, they saw that only the word V'ala was used, that it only goes up. There's no going down. And they understood that the Beis HaMikdash would be near his borders, and it would be right by Shevet Yehuda. So they looked around Shevet Binyamin. They said, where would be an area? What is the highest area in Shevet Binyamin? And they saw Ein Etam would be the closest. That would be the highest area that's right there. Even though, obviously, the Hermon, if anybody's been up north in Israel, is a higher mountain. Even though Tzfas technically is a higher mountain than Ein Etam. But in that area of Binyamin, where it says Ba'ala, and it doesn't say Yorad, that area, Ein Etam, is the highest place. So they went there. Yuma Lamed Aleph says it's 23 Amos above Har Moriah, the Makom HaMikdash itself. But they ended up, they said, you know what? It doesn't mean the highest place. They ended up deciding it would be Yerushalayim. Because the Pasuk describes the Beis HaMikdash of Ubenk Seifav Shachin. Between its shoulders, the Shechina will rest. The shoulders are a little bit farther down. So although Ein Etam would be the top of the head, Har Moriah would be the shoulders where it would go. When Doeg HaAdomi heard that David HaMelech found the place, he became insanely jealous of David HaMelech and began to campaign against him, trying to get him killed. And that's what happened with Achimelech later on, etc. That was Doeg HaAdomi's big thing because of what David HaMelech and Shmuel and Avi were able to do. So they figured it out. They were the ones who figured it out right there. Yes, Josh.
That's the message where they learned what 100 people in their time should have learned. Is that the thing where they figured out how the business shouldn't be built?
Where's that?
I don't know. I heard about the learned
that they were equal to 100 people?
They learned what, in that one night when they figured out where that was, they learned what 100 people, 100 people at
the time. I don't remember that Gemara. If that's a Gemara, I don't know if that's a Gemara. Maybe you're referring to another Medrash. I don't know that Medrash. Maybe. I have absolutely no idea. But as a side note, one might wonder why, if you go to the Beis HaMikdash nowadays, you know, to the Kotel, the old city is so much higher. Does that make any sense? But well, I'm sorry?
Harizitzim also.
Harizitzim, yes. There's no question about Harizitzim as well. I don't know about Harizitzim being that much higher, but I do hear you. There's no question, though. Everybody knows. You go to the Kotel from the old city. What happens?
You go down.
You go away from the Kotel, and you're out of breath within 16 steps, unless you're me and you're unbelievably in shape. Right? But everybody knows that, right?
The Har HaMor is going up.
I understand, but it's not. You can see where the Dome of the Rock is. It's not that much taller. So, meaning when you're going down to the Kotel itself, you're going down, 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 and it doesn't look like Har HaMoriah is any higher. So, what's pshat? You could ask that question. The Radvaz asks that question. Rav David ben Zimra lived in Egypt in the 1500s, around the 1500s, in Tshuva 639. He answered in two ways. He said, number one, they raised the area of the Beis HaMikdash. They raised it down time after time after time again. Said it wouldn't be a mountain anymore. They took away the rocks, they took away some of the dirt, they took away as much as they could to discourage the Jews from ever building there ever again. And that's the pasuk. Aru, aru, adi yisoyba. They dug and they dug until the foundations all the way down inside it. I said it today. It's in Al Naros Bavel in Tehillim. If you guys do Tehillim for the month, it's in today's Tehillim for the month. Aru, aru, adi yisoyba. They dug down until the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, even the ground under the Beis mixture is very soft. So as soon as they started digging, the whole thing collapsed. And therefore, Har HaMoriah is much lower than it was. The erosion happened very quickly in that area. And the second thing is that the city around the area kept being destroyed. So therefore, because the city kept being destroyed, they kept rising up the city above it. So meaning they built a city, and then they built a city on top of that, and they built a city on top of that, and built a city on top of that, and now you're left with the old city. The old city. And if you go to the excavations, anybody who's been to the old city knows, the old city, the real old city, is all the way down. And that's where the tallest columns were. If you go all the way down, the real city was further and further down. That's the concept behind it. But the truth is, they definitely knew. Let's go on, though. The Chassam Sofer says this was the mistake of Yaakov Avinu. This is a brilliant shot. Says Yaakov Avinu knew. We know. He slept in that area. How could Yaakov Avinu sleep in the area? And he woke up, and what did he say? God is in this place, and I had no idea. What do you mean you had no idea? He didn't know where Har HaMoriah was. He didn't know where the Akedah took place. You don't think Yitzchak Avinu on vacation one time took Yaakov and said, here's where I was almost shechted, son. You don't think that happened? Of course Yitzchak Avinu showed him where Har HaMoriah was. It was an unbelievably holy area. Why wouldn't he have known that? Because what Yaakov Avinu thought was that the Akedah took place on top of the mountain, on the Rosh of the mountain. That's what he assumed, because that would be the highest place. But it wasn't true. Instead, the Akedah took place on the Ksefov, the shoulder of the mountain. So where did Yaakov Avinu sleep? Instead of sleeping on top of the mountain, he slept on the shoulder of the mountain. And when he woke up, he realized he had slept exactly in the area where the Akedah took place. He was sleeping on the shoulder of the mountain. And that's what he said, Anokli Yodati. I had no idea that it was here. I knew it was in this area, but I had no idea it was here on the shoulder. I figured it was up top. That was the Kiddush. Miyamloi said that David HaMelech speaks about this whole process in Tehillim. Kuf Lamed Beis. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you what that is, but it's part of the Shir HaMalos. There are 15 Shir HaMalos altogether. This is part of the Shir HaMalos. It says he swore that he would not let sleep, he wouldn't rest on a bed or sleep overcome him. He wouldn't allow sleep to overcome him. Ad emtsa makom laHashem, until I find the place of Hashem, mishkanos la'avir Yaakov, the mishkan for the strength of Yaakov. I'm not going to sleep until I find the Beis HaMikdash, said David HaMelech. That's what he promised for. He searched and he worked for it. And then it says, he named it Sanu, Shemanua. Behold, I heard the Ephrasa. It's in a certain beautiful place. We found it in the fields of the forest. We found the area. He was so excited, David HaMelech, because he, again, l'shichno sidrashu, he looked for it, and eventually he found it. And he went to Gad HaChozeh. And he said to Gad HaChozeh, is this the right area? And Gad HaChozeh gives him a nevuah. And the nevuah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the area, but you're not going to build it. Instead, it's going to be built by your son. Shlomo HaMelech is going to build it instead. And in Shmuel Beis Chaf Dalet, Perek Chaf Dalet, that's exactly what happened. They were told to buy the land of Arvona HaYabusi, that the land that David HaMelech had figured out on his own, maybe a little bit with Shmuel and Avi, that land, he was told, you're right. And all of this, the Malbim says, is hidden in our Pesukim, all hinted to in our Pesukim. Search for it, try hard to connect with Hashem, and then he'll reveal the place. This happened again. In Gullus Babel, when they came up and Ezra came there, it wasn't easy to find the area of the Beis HaMikdash. I know everybody's thinking, well, how did they not know where Har Moriah was or where the old areas were? You're right. It wasn't easy to find exactly where the Mizbeach used to go. Where is the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? They weren't sure where that was. And Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi got a nevuah from Hashem after Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel, if Zerubbabel isn't Nehemiah, and all the others sat there and darshaned, maybe it's here, maybe it's here, and they decided, it's here. They went to Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi said, yeah, you're right. That's where they figured it out. The exact same thing happened. Exact same thing happened. And I would assume that the same thing will happen in Lasse's level. That we'll darshan, we'll figure out where it is, and then we'll ask a Navi, and the Navi, Mashiach, will tell us exactly where we're supposed to go. Rashi and Makos. Everybody knows this Gemara, Makos, Yud Aleph, where David HaMelech was digging down in the ground to make the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. He went down to make the Shisin. That's called the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. It seems from the Gemara that, does anybody know what happened? Anybody remember? He got down to a certain stone, and the stone spoke to him and said, don't pick me up. If you pick me up, I'm going to drown the world. I am the stone that was placed on the depths. When the depths wanted to cover the world, I am the stone that was placed there to stop the world from being drowned. So David Melech, yeah. So he picked it up, right? And immediately, the waters wanted to drown the world. The waters wanted to drown the world. The Ben Ish Chai says, immediately David Melech put the rock back, but it wasn't permanent. So he didn't know what to do. He said, how do I make this stop? What do I do? So Achitophel was there. Achitophel is chief advisor. And Achitophel said, in the event he didn't say anything, David HaMelech told everybody who is or doesn't tell me is going to be killed, right? And Achitophel said, Kal v'chomer. If by Sota, right, we erase God's name in order to make peace, to save the world, you should erase God's name. So he said, take the rock, write God's name on it, and put it back down, and it'll stop. And it'll be permanently there for the rest of time. That's exactly what David HaMelech did. He did that. He took the rock, wrote Hashem's name, put it down there, and it stopped, and everything was there. Now, here's the issue. He was building the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash, and Achitophel is alive. Anybody remember when Achitophel died?
Yes, before that.
Very good. Does anybody remember what happened to cause Achitophel to die? Come on, guys, go back to seminary world. Come on, you can do this. I know you know it. I'm sorry? Oh, my gosh. He is the great-grandfather of Bathsheba, the wife of David HaMelech. He is the chief advisor of David HaMelech. He is a person that David HaMelech considered his Rebbe, even though he only taught him two things, one of them being this. Not Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is the grandson of Shaul HaMelech, the son of Yehonah's son, right, who ended up becoming king of Klal Yisrael, right, for, not the king of Klal Yisrael, but ended up being one of David HaMelech's friends later on. Not Ishbosheth, that was Ishbal, that might be a different person. Yes, you did it last, come on.
Melech hanged himself.
But why?
Because of Shaul's rebellion.
Thank you, Edward. I knew you would know it. Seminary train came into play. I knew it. But 100%, Achitophel was the chief advisor who went against David HaMelech, convinced Avshalom to rebel, and was on his side fighting against David HaMelech. When David HaMelech fought against Avshalom, well, he didn't fight, but when Avshalom was eventually killed, and Achitophel saw that his advice wasn't taken, really, before Avshalom was killed, Achitophel committed suicide. Wait a second. We know when the Beis HaMikdash, when David HaMelech bought the area from Arvana Yevusi. That was bought after he made a mistake in counting the people, which was after the rebellion of Avshalom. After Avshalom rebelled, right, after that rebellion, then he counted the people, made a mistake, there was a plague, and that's when he was told to buy the area from Arvana HaYavusi. That happened after Achitophel was dead. So how was he building the foundations when Achitophel was already dead and asking Achitophel what to do? And don't tell me zombie world. We're not dealing with that. No scares amazing here. How could that be? I'm sorry? But he didn't buy it yet. Why was he building the foundations when he hadn't bought it yet? So Asher, you're right. Rashi says that. He hadn't bought it from him yet. That's what Rashi says over there. And says he got permission from Arvana to dig in that area even though he hadn't bought it yet. That's what he got permission to do. The Marsha says, that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't he have bought it? If you knew that that was the area, why wouldn't you buy it immediately? Why wouldn't you have done that? Second thing, it seems from the psukim that David HaMelech only figured out what place it was, the area to build the base of Mikdash, after that whole thing had happened and God told him what to do. Not beforehand. It doesn't seem that way. So the Marsha says another pshat. David HaMelech made a mistake. David HaMelech thought that the area where the base of Mikdash would be on Ein Etam, because that's the highest place. So he went to Ein Etam, started digging the foundations, and that's where he found the stone that was covering up the Tahom, and then he realized he was in the wrong place. So he switched over later on and went to Arbani Yavusi later on in time. So he made the foundations in the wrong place when Achitophel was still alive, found the right place after Achitophel was already dead. That's the Marsha's pshat. I've got three problems on that. Give me a second, guys. The Aruch Lener says it also doesn't make any sense. That means Shmuel and Avi never knew where the right area was. Because Shmuel and Avi was long dead by this time. Shmuel and Avi was long dead. That means Shmuel and Avi never had any idea where the actual basement was supposed to be. And I thought we just said from the Gemara that Shmuel and Avi and David HaMelech were the ones who figured it out.
Unless he thought like Yaakov.
Either way, that means that Shmuel and Avi did not know. Shmuel and Avi would not have known where it is, and that's not what the Gemara and Zvachim just said. The Gemara and Zvachim says they figured it out together. Number two, it seems clear that David HaMelech dug the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. He's not digging just random foundations and going somewhere else. It seems very clear from the Gemara that way. It seems extremely weird that way. So instead, the Aruch Haner takes Rashi's pshat and he explains it a little bit. David and Shaul were convinced that they knew where it was, where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be, and they knew it. It was in the area of Arvana HaYavim. They knew it was going to be in that area. But they were never told that by a Navi that they were correct. I assume that Shmuel HaNavi, and even though David HaMelech was also a Navi, I assume they never got a Nevuah about this Inyan. So although they figured it out, they never got a Nevuah about it. So they never knew if they were fully correct. So the confirmation was only given to David after Achitophel's death. But while Shmuel and Avi was even alive, even, I don't know when it was exactly, at that point, David HaMelech went to Arvana, and he said the following, I am going to buy this land from you, but I can't buy the land from you yet. I can't do it until I'm talked to by an Avi. So right now, I want to rent the area so that I can build the foundation, start building the foundation. Let me start that right now, and then later, I'll come to you and I'll buy the area. Is that okay with you? And then Arvana Yavusi said yes. He told him that's going to be. He thought that maybe if he bought it now, there might be an issue later. He decided he wasn't going to do it. He would do that right over there. Yeah, Dave, what were you going to ask?
I say that in Econ ended up being, and it's kind of interesting, is part of Solomon's pools. So the springs are the water supply.
Is that really true? That's true. Yeah, that's where it is. Yeah. That's amazing. I wasn't sure where Enitam was.
I think it's the headwater, like the one where it starts.
That's where it starts from over there?
All the way in the southeast.
Hold on, but that's in the Arab section, right?
Yeah, all
that's in the Arab section by Sawan. Yeah, I remember where it is. I didn't realize that was Ein Etam.
Yeah.
That's by the Tayelet? Is that where that is? By Baca?
By the southeast of Solomon's Pools, which is like my tub room.
Just give me a second. Southeast. I got a western wall. East. South. Southeast. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that would make sense.
It's the section of Amherst and Tower.
Are you Wikipediaing it? Is that Wikipedia?
I'm looking. No, that's the Times of Israel.
Oh, okay. Can't tell if it's good or bad.
Or some guy says it's a sacred spring. It's somewhere between Jerusalem and Tabor.
That's Ein Etam? But it's supposed to be a mountain. I mean, it stems from a mountain, though. Where's the mountain?
So I'm saying, if you look on the map, where Solomon's...
That's the area. It's going to be right there. So cool. That would be an unbelievable little thing. Now, I'm going to skip the Mount Moriah right now, which says a crazy thing about the hate of admiration and what happens. I'm just going to say the other lessons that can be learned from this. That all deals with building the Beis HaMikdash. The Panim Yapos learns from here that when a person davens, you should daven in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. L'shichno to his shechina sidrishu. That's where you should daven. That's why we daven to the east. Now, if you should know, this is the Gemara. But the Gemara doesn't bring this pasuk. It doesn't bring l'shichno sidrishu. But this is where we learn it from, he says. That's what it's supposed to be. The Tzfar Shlomo says it means you should have tremendous kavana in your tefillah to take away bad thoughts. That's the idea, he says. The skula, to do that correctly, to take away your bad thoughts, is to daven about the Churban and to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Then your tefillah will go straight to the area of the Beis HaMikdash and be accepted. That's what it means, daven toward Yerushalayim. It doesn't mean physically to stand toward toward Jerusalem. It means daven about Jerusalem, and then your tefillas will be better accepted. That's the pshat, he says. The Mashi Loch says it's not a physical thing whatsoever. When a person davens, try to figure out if what you're doing is Ratzon Hashem, and then you can continue to do it. If you're filled with Kedusha and tefillah and you want to continuously daven, that's the drisha that's required over here. Rev Wolfson talks about this as well. It tells you it's talking about Rosh Chodesh Elul. Always think of Vasta Shem to get to an area where you should go, to get to an area where everything's all good. We're going to end with this. Kedushas Levi says, you know what the line is? Uvasa Shama. You should come to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shama being the letters of Moshe. Moshe stands for Mimchon Shifto Hishkiach. From the place where he resides, we'll call it, he will look down upon us and take care of us. The line is that we're hinting, you should darshan the Shechina in this pasuk. You should try to do as much as you can to find God the way Moshe Rabbeinu did. And that's L'shichno Sidrashu. So altogether, what do we learn from over here? Our first thing was what L'shichno Sidrashu stands for, which city it refers to. We then talk about why we don't know where this place is. It was done on purpose. We then say that it has to be something that we have to work hard in order to get. That's the concept. The Ramban brings down the Sifri, how everything happened, how David HaMelech found it in the first place with these Midrashim over here. We went through all those different Midrashim. And then finally, the other lessons that can be learned from L'shichno Sidrashu. Everyone.